Welcome to Mentoring Matters, mentoring in today's business world with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson of Management Mentors. Whether you need mentoring training, consulting, or a better way to manage your existing mentoring program, Management Mentors is here to help. Now, here are Rainey and Dave.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Mentoring Matters. I'm Rainey Petrin, president and founder of Management Mentors, and joining me, as per usual, is my colleague Dave Carson from the UK.
Hi, buddy.
Welcome, Dave. We're happy to have you with us today. Our topic is Matches Made in Heaven. The devil is in the details. And, Dave, you know this is a very, very important part of what we do in terms of helping our clients with a successful mentoring program. And I kind of want to let the audience know what we're going to try to do today is provide a broad overview of what matching is all about. We'd also want to discuss some of the issues involved in matching and then talk about kind of a process we follow, a best practice approach, where, as I've indicated to the audience before, we've had a 90% success rate in our 18-year history of doing matches.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of what we want to cover today, Dave. It's just you and I, as they say, and let's begin the discussion.
Okay.
All right. You know, if we're looking at the literature, Dave, the consensus seems to be there's no clear idea on matching, that there really are no clear-cut guidelines that have improved and so forth. Your thoughts on that, Dave?
Well, that's right, Rennie. As you know, in the last couple of years or so, I've been doing a lot of research and study. And matching, you know, it comes up time and time again. I sometimes think that people are kind of clutching at straws regarding matching, and I hope the program today is really going to open up the thinking of people who are running mentoring programs and give them a good idea of some real practical guidelines that work in the matching process. But as a sort of overview, Rennie, you know, when I read through journals and books on mentoring and commentaries, people are always searching for some sort of formula. And they always kind of add the comment, because there are no practical guidelines that are grounded in research. Well, that may be the case, but, you know, it might be a bit misleading, because I do believe there are some good practical guidelines out there. And I'm sure today, by the end of the program, we'll have given people a lot of good ideas.
Yeah, and I was looking to when I was looking to some of the literature that you and I have been talking about, one of the thoughts that occurred to me is, you know, maybe they ought to be contacting us and involve us in the research process, because I think that there is a process. It's a very thoughtful process. And it's one that provides enough flexibility to give people a sense of making a good match. But what it does involve is effort, and it does involve time. And I think that really leads, in some ways, to a question, which is, you know, is this a hit-or-miss system? Is there really a process? Or is it really a case of luck, and you try to put people together and hope for the best?
Well, I think if you were to read the literature, you'd be left thinking that in a lot of cases that is the situation. And certainly going into organizations, when I ask people how they previously matched, well, it probably is like that, Rennie. But some of the ideas that people are clutching at in terms of matching are learning styles.
Yes.
And so people are getting their participants on the program to complete a learning styles questionnaire, and they're going on matching on learning styles. Other ideas that have come up are cognitive behavior. So people, again, are completing some sort of test, intelligence test, and coming up with their cognitive behavior, their way of thinking, and they're matching on that.
Yeah.
And another one that I came up with was, is there some sort of personality predictor in terms of becoming a mentor in the program? So there are a myriad of things out there, Rennie, that people seem to be clutching at and saying that's what we'll use to match in this process.
Yes, and do you find, I know in the States, one of the things that I used to hear a lot, and I still hear a lot about that, is the Myers-Briggs instrument. Are you familiar with Myers-Briggs up in the
UK? Yeah, we do.
You know, whether you're an intuitive individual and so forth and so on. And I think that, you know, I've been asked that question frequently here in the States. Well, can we use Myers-Briggs as a way of matching? And my response is, well, you can use it, I suppose, if you want to, but it really complicates the process. It really is not all that complicated. So, I mean, what's interesting about the literature or people thinking about matching is like, well, you know, it's either very simple, which means you just put people together and that's it, or it's extremely complex and you've got to go through all these gyrations to get to the match. And actually, I think it's a fairly simplified process, but it's thoughtful.
It is thoughtful, Rennie, and I think it's also part of a discussion. And I don't think matching should be looked at in isolation. And I hope we can be able to touch on that and expand on that later in the program. But, you know, when you mention Myers-Briggs, yes, that's another one that's added to the list. And
yeah.
When I think about Myers-Briggs and learning styles and cognitive behavior styles, I think these are all really good indicators. You know, they're good to help people consider the situation they're in and how they react. But is it a way of matching? I mean, if you're an activist and I'm an activist, does that mean that we're going to make a good match? Because when you think about diversified matches, is it right, is it productive for the individuals and the organization that we match like for like?
No.
Because that's what we're saying, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess the underlying assumption in some of these tools is that if you're similar, that's what you want to do because that is better. When in fact we know, and we've been talking about diversity matching for the last two previous shows, as you know, that matching is really a little bit more complicated than that. In that sense, just because people are similar doesn't necessarily mean it's a good match any more than just because they're different, it means it's a bad match.
That's right.
Do you know what I'm saying? It is a question of, when you look at matching, it's a question, what's the right fit for these two individuals based upon what we want to accomplish? And, some people indicate sometimes that it's almost like blind dating. Well, it has a certain component to that, but that's really not, it's not blind. If you're doing it right, it's not blind. It is actually, again, a very thoughtful, thought-out process using certain tools that you need to be able to get at the right candidates. But it certainly is not hit or miss.
Well, I don't think so. It is hit or miss, Rennie. But, you know, I sometimes think using these intelligences or styles can be a bit hit and miss.
Yeah.
Because after all, it's a self-assessment tool
yeah.
in the main.
Yeah.
And that in itself doesn't, I don't think, is a very good foundation for putting two people together in a mentoring relationship. And I mean, some of the commentary that I have read, and you alluded to it, Rennie, was that people do think that way, that
yeah.
if people are in the same learning style, then that will, I would say, make a good match, but that is a basis for matching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the other tool that we have is similar, is the communication styles instrument.
Yeah.
And we know how effective that is in helping to build the relationship. But it's not a tool for matching, is it?
Right. It's a tool to be used in building your relationship. And I think what we do is, or our philosophy is, some of these tools, they're useful. It's not, I don't think you mean to say, and I know you're not saying that these tools are not helpful. I think it's where you put them. And I think the key for us is we think that matching doesn't need those kinds of tools, that actually those tools are better utilized once a match is made to assist the pairs in developing their relationship. You know, I think that in the article here, there's an article that I want to quote from, which is called "To Match or Mismatch: The Dynamics of Mentoring as a Route to Personal and Organizational Learning" by Richard Hale. And he says, the study identified matching as one of the major pitfalls in company mentoring schemes. He warned that care must be shown in the matching process in formal mentoring programs. He says, the current practice of random assignment of protégés to mentors is analogous to blind dates. There would be a small probability that the match would be successful, but more attention to the selection phase would raise its probability above chance levels. And that really is the point. If you spend the time at the beginning in the matching process, using the right tools and understanding why you're matching, you're going to increase the likelihood of making a good match.
I think that's absolutely right, and that's a really good point that you bring out of that article, Rennie. And I hope that, you know, later on in the program, we'll be able to talk about some of the tools that we use and the processes we use in helping people to make that all-important match.
Well, one of the major issues, Dave, that comes up, and I'm sure you get this all the time, is, you know, this question of self-selection of a match versus forced matches, and I use the word forced matches quite deliberately because as opposed to, we call it professional matching, but I use forced matches because that's the way people look at it, and it kind of gives it a negative spin on it. But what are your thoughts about this whole argument about I should select my mentor, that's the best way to make a match versus, well, the company is making the match for me, it doesn't know me, how, you know, why should they be doing that?
Two questions that come to mind, Vinny. Why would I want to self-select a mentor? Maybe because I want someone who's like me, who I'd feel quite safe with. And the question then is that what a mentoree needs? And then the other aspect is, well, what am I looking for in a mentor? Is it, you know, I just want to progress my career or, you know, it may be very, it could be very limiting in a way.
Yes.
But, of course, there are some organizations that don't have the resource for whatever reason to put in a formal mentoring program, and a self-managed program might be the answer for them, but I think, you know, there could be issues with mentorees self-selecting their mentors. That's good. What your experience is, Rennie?
Yeah, well, I think, again, it certainly is one way of matching, and I wouldn't say that it's a bad way of matching, but I would say that it has severe limitations because, A, he presumes that the mentoree knows all the players in the company and knows which person to select. I mean, the ability for me to select a mentor is based upon how many people I know in the company and how well I know them to then make a match. The other thing is, as you said, is I'm likely, quite frankly, to pick someone like me for the most part because that tends to be what human nature is all about. In the studies that have been done on mentoring, particularly in diversity, studies and mentoring, what they've said is the value of having a formal program is that for at least women and people of color and so forth, white males who still have traditional power, at least in the States, and I suspect it's the same thing in the UK, tend to mentor people like them, other white males. And that's kind of the natural thing because people feel comfortable with people that look like them or act like them or from the same culture, whatever the case may be. And I think that that's one of the limitations is we tend to select people like ourselves. And so, not that it's not valuable, but it does limit our growth in many, many respects. You know?
Yes.
And at this point, Dave, we have to take a break already, and we'll come back in just a few minutes to continue our conversation on matches.
Wonderful.